Alright, Simmons.
Your favorite Ethiopian solo. Okay.
Hold up, though. It's all produced by me, OCT. What it do, baby?
Super producer, aka I.
Hey, yo, what it at?
All right, Baller Nation, we are back for another episode of the Baller Alert Show podcast. Of course, we are staying safe. We are practicing social distancing, so we are recording the show from home today, and I hope everybody else is home, no matter what your mayor or governor says.
Facts. Hashtag stay home. Stay your ass home.
Rari, what you been up to?
I've been quarantining at the house. I've been working on the radio from home, and I am talking to you guys from home. You dig? I ain't do a damn thing.
Quarantine.
Sue Solo, how have you been doing?
I've been good. I realized this week I am probably really fat at this point, so it's time for me to get out of the house. I've been kicking it at my homeboy's warehouse, Support Black Colleges. You know, they have like those sweaters and hats.
So you've been out the house?
Only two times this week. I had to be out the house. But like, it's a small warehouse. They don't have more than 3-4 people in there at a time. So it's still cute. But
so you outside?
I had to be, Rara, because I ain't doing nothing but eating at home. You know, I'm literally just eating. And I get on my scale every day, and that bitch is going up. Okay? Like, those are not the numbers that I want to see go up. All right? Bank account down. Weight up, that don't go together.
What's going on with you, Ock?
Hey, you know it don't stop, cause we out here working every day, and every day we working.
Okay then.
Ock always get to the monies, and since we get into the monies, it is time for In Case You Missed It.
Just in case
you missed it. All right, y'all. Fresh Montana is really smoking dope. Okay, he has to be smoking dope in real life. I know y'all heard what he said in the last couple of days. Right?
Yes. He said that he had more hit records than Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, so for y'all who don't know by now, I don't know where the hell you've been if you don't, but Versus was created by Swiss Beatz and Timbaland, and it features two respected artists or producers battling it out on social media, but it's more about the love for each other, the love and respect. It's not like a battle like, you know, hey, nigga, I'm better than you. Like, it's not disrespectful at all. So typically what happens is the two people are people that are kind of like in the same genre, or, you know, they were in the same era. So Fresh Montana decided that this man feels that he can go in with Kendrick Lamar.
No. French is my guy. French is my guy, though. But no.
Yeah, they're nowhere near the same. Like, Fresh Montana, you're not a conscious rapper. At all. I don't remember anything serious that you said that has touched my spirit in any kind of way.
Hold up. That Pop That video was touched my spirit. That Pop That video touched my spirit.
I'm sure just letting you know that it did. Okay, that's great. That's one out of all of Kendrick Lamar's tracks. That Kendrick Lamar does not have one verse anywhere where he doesn't say something real. That man is consistent. So you might have some club hits. You might have more things that DJs are playing, but Kendrick Lamar, like, nah, bro, you don't have more hits than Kendrick.
And French posted a list of songs that he was on and that were his, and I just didn't agree with the list. Now, the list was accurate as far as the songs being dope and lit, but some of the songs weren't his, like the one where These Hoes Ain't Loyal. That's a Chris Brown record, and it features, like, Lil Wayne, Tyga, French Montana, and his verse is like last.
So
on
he's
that
trying
song.
To take credit for his features, and that's cool, but no, that's not how verses works.
It has to be, you have to, I believe I saw, you have to either be the main or the on the song, or the second main of the song. Facts. Can't be, you know, a fourth verse on a record. That don't count, in my opinion.
Well, Atlanta's own Young Thugga heard about it, and he was like, hold up. I know French Montana did not just say that. Something's wrong with this man.
You know, Thug is definitely, he actually has a point. I'm not that he never has a point. He's a very intelligent guy. He did have something to say, and his videos were funny. I think it got a little aggressive, though. The DMs, showing the DMs of their dispute back in August, it was a little aggressive. Thug, but, you know, Thug is with the shits.
The part that took me out was when Thug was like, I wore that dress because I thought it was love.
Well, you know, you know, Thug's very, Thug is a, you know, he likes Marilyn Manson and, you know, he's a rock star. So I get what Thug does. A lot of people don't, but I mean, he's really into his artistry, and I'm not trying to take up for Thug, but he's really into that artistry type stuff. So he did mean what he said, but you know,
I get it and I respect it. It was just funny.
Black Twitter.
It was just funny to hear it. Like, hey, nigga, I wore that dress in your video to show love. I was like, what?
Sir, what?
Okay. Like,
yeah.
Cool.
I understand Thug, so I understand what he was trying to say. But yeah.
Then
French post. Did you see the picture that French posted with Thug with the lipstick?
Not the lipstick.
Yes. I don't know if that was real.
It didn't
not.
Look real. I zoomed in. I was like, that is not Thugga Thugga.
He playing with the wrong person. I'm just letting you know.
He's definitely playing with the wrong person. So speaking of playing with the wrong person, obviously producer Weezy feels the same way because he actually posted on his Instagram story, prayers up for French Montana. And then,
Weezy out of here.
Right. And then Gunna reposted that and added on to it saying, because he going to need them. Now, look, if y'all know how Atlanta know, stop playing.
Don't play with Thug.
Don't do that. Like, he might wear a dress. But he'll
playing with
that
Thug come with complications and situations, big fella.
Ooh.
All right, speaking of complications and situations, let's talk about these deadbeat daddies, okay?
They out here.
They is out here. So, Masika is putting Fetty Wap on blast, talking about he's a deadbeat and he's not there for the kid, which is so crazy because we have this perception that he's a good dad. And maybe I'm making it up. I don't know where that came from, but I feel like I've been reading and seeing people say,
I think because
like,
you like his music, Sue. That's all. He makes good music.
And maybe because the babies are so pretty. Ahead. I don't know. But I thought he was a good daddy. And I don't think that he's not just because Masika said it. Obviously, I don't know what's true. We don't know anything. But I don't know. But I do believe that Tekashi Snitch 9 is a deadbeat daddy.
Ooh.
I definitely believe that.
Ooh.
So y'all know the boy has been out of prison for a couple of weeks now. He was sentenced to immediately like 2 years on RICO charges because he literally blasted all his homeboys. He snitched on everybody.
He's a sucker,
but he's a sucker that was still making money in jail, which is sad. The boy, I think he got like, he made $10 million in jail.
Lord have mercy.
Anyway, he's been out of prison for a couple of weeks now, and his baby mama, Sarah Molina, I believe is her last name, she said that he's still ghosting their kid, and she couldn't believe it because this man kept saying to the judge, I need to be free to take care of my daughter. My daughter needs me. The baby mama was like, well, stop using our child as a gimmick. Like, look, you're not an active member in this child's life. Please, at this point, keep her name out your mouth. Don't try to use the fact that you are technically a father, biologically her father, as an excuse to help you get out of prison. You done snitched on everybody.
He's not an active gang member either, but go ahead.
Okay, he is so not an active gang member. So I think it's really selfish of him because he has done all this trolling. He snitched on all these people, and he's constantly yelling, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. Leave her out of it. Let her be.
I think he's probably not going to make a statement or do anything. He's on strict social media guidelines per his court order. I believe once he gets off probation, he'll probably be back with the bullshit. But as of right now, he's behaving via social media. I don't even believe he posted anything yet at all, right?
Well, when the city of Los Angeles or the state of California put out a tweet, they said that they wanted people to call them and report businesses that were not practicing social distancing or the Shelter in Place Act. This fool actually commented on that and said, what's the number? I got you. He's trolling.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
He cannot help himself. This little boy cannot help himself.
But he hasn't posted anything on his main page.
Not that I've seen, but... Right.
Okay.
Look, he's trolling the baby mama.
Yeah, it's coming.
He's definitely trolling the baby mama, talking about, I haven't been in our child's life since I came out because I want the pandemic to pass. I'm protecting her. Yeah, man, you can pick up the call. You can't give somebody the damn coronavirus through the phone. Okay, Stupid ass.
Snitch 9. What else we got, sis?
All right, now, moving on. Pop Smoke. We got some good news for his family. Y'all know Pop Smoke was fatally killed out in L.A. He was in a very, really nice, rich people rental home that he was at with one of his friends. And he looks like he showed some things off on social media. People found the address. Unfortunately, he was killed in that home. So before all that happened, he was actually charged with stealing a Rolls Royce or driving a Rolls Royce out of state lines, knowing that it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those charges have been dropped. So good for them. I can't imagine what that feels like to, you know what? I never understood. How is it that a deceased person could still have pending charges on them? Like, what happens? Does anybody know? Well, what do you do?
It's filed. So, you know, they have to go in there and then, because you can't necessarily sue a dead person who doesn't have an estate.
Right.
You can sue the estate, but I don't think he was big enough to have an estate, so he didn't, you know, that stuff's really just going to just stay there, so they just drop. I'm pretty sure that made sense to drop everything.
Well, good then, I guess, in that case, because I would hate for his family to have to deal with that. Like, you can't deal with losing a loved one and then deal with that afterwards. Like, give them some time to heal, give them some space. So I'm glad that
he was only
out.
18 or 19. So, you know,
he was 20 when he passed.
20, damn.
Which is the same thing. 18, 19, 20 is the same damn
facts.
Thing. All right. Speaking of the same damn thing, it looks like Atlanta's mayor is not on the same page as Georgia's Governor Kemp, who wants to open the state up on Friday.
Factuals.
On Friday. So
this Friday.
This Friday. So Governor Kemp of Georgia feels like they are ready to move on into phase one of reopening the economy. He feels that bowling alleys, movie theaters, barbershops, hair and nail salons,
tattoo parlors.
He feels those things are ready to be open. You need to what? You need to sit your ass at home is what you need to do.
No. Yeah, you're right.
That boy was about to say I need a tattoo.
No, I do need to update my tats, but that's not gonna happen no time soon because my tattoo guy's not opening this Friday. He's gonna sit back and wait like everybody.
Good for him. I love that there are some people that are leading by example in doing that. Like Killer Mike is like, we're not opening the shop. I'm gonna keep it closed. There are a couple of black owned hair salons that are saying the same thing. They feel like it's too soon, and it is. So we pretty much.
I've seen some nail salons that there's some people that's in line.
What?
I saw a picture that was floating online. Some people were standing outside the nail salon.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like as soon as these people go outside, you know what I'm saying, they get infected, then, you know, what if people that's inside need to go out for essential items and then, you know, they come into contact with these people who don't give a damn.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's the thing. It's definitely far too soon, no matter how they want to kick it. So Governor Kemp is ready for it. Atlanta's mayor, and Atlanta is the capital of Georgia, she actually came out and spoke. This is Keisha Lance Bottom. She came out and shared her two cents about it. Well, first, I want you to hear what Governor Kemp said, and then we'll jump into everything else.
The decisions that I'm making are made in conjunction with our public health officials based on the data that we're seeing. Our trends are going in the right direction. I want to thank Georgians for hunkering down and doing the things that we asked them to do. These businesses that had to close, you know, they helped us flatten the curve and get on the backside of this. And they're really hurting out there. And we're looking forward to this measured approach.
So that was Governor Kemp basically.
He a damn fool.
Yeah,
go
he
ahead,
is. And he sounds real slow. He sounds like somebody that stole the damn election. That's what he sounds like.
He sounds like somebody that didn't know the information that was just reading.
100%. That's what
he didn't even know how to put on a mask.
No, he didn't. He did not.
He put it on sideways, man.
And he did not know that asymptomatic people could give other people
transfer
the damn virus. Like, he did not know that. Like, he just was not on the same
he
page.
He sound like
everybody.
He say, come here, boy, all the time. But go ahead.
Exactly. The part that really throws me off is he's like, we have this strict stay-at-home act to prepare for this. That's the part that threw me off in what he was saying. I'm like, do you hear yourself? Do you hear what you're telling us? You're saying that y'all had us in shutdown so that you can prepare for an influx of deaths. The only reason we're going to have an influx is because you're opening the damn state too soon. Far too soon. So Keisha hit up CNN. She's made a couple of runs, and she's expressed that as a mother, forget the mayor, as a mother, she is concerned. She's concerned because, you know what? These barbershops and these hair salons, it's one of them on every block in our communities. They are all over our communities. So I do feel like it's an attack on us because y'all just announced a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that black people are dying far more than any other race from the coronavirus. So now it's like, all right, cool. Let's go ahead and open these things up. Why y'all not opening up no golf courses?
But you know what? I just hope that I know our people black people gonna be tempted to get their nails done and everything, but I just pray and I just ask that you guys withhold your money. Withhold the black dollar.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Let's make them feel us from when they open their doors, because we can still make a change without spending a dollar. We stay home and we stay put until otherwise.
Even Trump spoke out talking about he disagrees. He told Governor Brian Kemp that it was a bad idea and it was too soon. I really feel like Trump threw him under the bus, to be honest with y'all.
I have a theory on that. I think that Trump and Kemp are cool and with each other. I believe that Trump did that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
I believe that they had a conversation. Hey, buddy, I'm going to have to throw you under the bus, but I like what you're doing down there. Keep
100%.
It up. 100%. Telling you, I believe they had a conversation.
So now Kemp can't do nothing but just hold his head up and look stupid at the same time.
I don't trust both of them.
Not at all. And it's a couple of other black folk that don't trust the government either. Speaking of Gilly the Kid. So everybody, Rory, tell me, like, what is his rise to fame? What do the majority of people know him for?
Initially, Gilly the Kid was around Cash Money. He helped them out. He was a rapper. He's from Philly. And initially, he was around Cash Money around the time. He helped, with records. He helped some ghostwriting songs, some songs and hooks for Lil Wayne. But he always was, you know, in the streets and just, you know, that just that guy on the block that just always had dope words of wisdom, insight, funny. Hood funny. And then, you know, once Instagram came out, he just started taking that to his Instagram. So, you know, he always has a word of the day. He always has gives advice of people who DM him. He gives life advice, but he kind of, you know, he's very urban with it. And so, you know, when Governor Kemp said something, I just didn't appreciate the way that he said Atlanta. It kind of gives me a vibe of how maybe sometimes people view us as a city. And sometimes when they think about Georgia, they don't ever think about Macon or mm-hmm. Valdosta or Columbus or whatever, or Augusta. They think about Atlanta. However they view Georgia, they view Atlanta. And when you view Atlanta, you view black people.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is saying Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. And I feel like he just kind of went Atlanta crazy instead of Governor Kemp, Governor Kemp, Governor Kemp. I think he could have aimed his focus on that particular thing. But hey, who am I?
Well, I'm sure we got some listeners that don't know what we're talking about. So y'all listen to what Gilly the Kid said and we'll come back and talk about it some more.
Why the fuck they opening Atlanta the fuck up first? The blackest city in America. You niggas don't see the motherfucking blitz going down. Omaha, Omaha, 38 right blast on a 59's the mic. Y'all don't see the fucking blitz going down. They opened up the blackest motherfucking city in America first. So let them niggas run out there. They do the test run. Let them niggas go ahead and run. Y'all fucking guinea pigs in Atlanta. Y'all so fucking happy. Can't wait to be at a motherfucking day party. Hey, do the stinky lane. You bitches be at a death party at night. Niggas can't wait to be at a motherfucking day party ordering up the corona. Let me get the coronavirus specials. Yeah, let me get two of them straight. Mm-mm. No chaser. I want the coronavirus straight. No motherfucking chaser. You niggas is crazy, man. Why the fuck they ain't open Utah up? Why they ain't open Montana up? Ain't shit out there but snow and fucking cows. Why the fuck they ain't open that shit up, but they opened up Atlanta.
So, Rory, you are right. He was definitely saying Atlanta a lot, but it goes back to saying, like,
y'all doing?
Yeah, like when people think about Georgia, they definitely think about Atlanta. And I get it. We love that y'all think about us because we lit. You know what I'm saying? So we appreciate that. But there's nobody in the streets over here trying to get out. Ain't nobody protesting over here. We are fine. I have not seen, maybe it's just my circle of people, but I don't, I, ha- haven't been around anybody that's been pressed to go outside.
I got a couple of my homeboys that's pressed to go outside, but that's a whole nother issue.
We are chilling. I'm not going to say that there aren't some people that do want to go out there, but the way that he was saying it, I think he was really just trying to be relatable, and he was talking to very specific people, you know? He wasn't talking to everybody.
Yeah, and it just made me mad. It kind of, I'm not necessarily mad at him. I just didn't like how he just grouped Atlanta into it. It just was kind of whack. But go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking to the silly niggas. Like, we know that for sure. But the self-proclaimed mayor of Atlanta, Jermaine Dupri.
Thank you, JD.
Yeah, I liked his message because it made sense. You know what I'm saying? It was sensible. It was relatable. I do think that it was heartfelt. And he's a self-proclaimed mayor of Atlanta. So, of course, he was going to come out and give us a different tone. Listen to what JD said.
If you do have to go out and get a haircut, we all need haircuts. I mean, listen, what I want you to understand is they're expecting us to die. And that don't have to be like that. We don't have to go that way, and we can change this. Yes, if places are open, let them just be open.
Yes, JD. Preach.
Thank you, JD. That was a real salute on that one. I liked how he prefaced his comments. Mm-hmm. I like how he said, look, I'm not going to try to speak it professionally. I'm going to speak it to a way to my people so they can understand what the hell I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man, because we needed to hear it said in that way. I'm not mad at Gilly for how... Is it Gilly? Yeah, I'm not mad at Gilly for how he said it. Like, I think we expect him to talk like that. Like, that is his
tone. It's cool. I just didn't like how he said, you know, he just kept saying Atlanta. I'm over here like, dude, Georgia, bro. Georgia.
Right, because, you know, Albany got one of the biggest breakouts in the nation.
Yeah, it is a hot spot.
Swear to God. Like, yeah. Seriously.
It's not Atlanta, y'all. So keep your cue. Go ahead and open up those other states that were protesting. Minnesota, Utah, whoever the hell it was. Like, open them up.
Let just got to update out. Y'all.
What?
Bronx rapper Fred DeGodson, the godson, passes away from coronavirus.
No.
I don't know if y'all know, like, he was from New York, and everybody was posting him like, man, get better, get better, get better. Hope you get through this. Yeah, he passed away from coronavirus.
You know what scares me about this?
I hope this makes people understand now. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
This is serious, bro.
You can believe that the government is fabricating, and you know, but you also have to believe that two things can really happen at the same time. Do I believe the government is fabricating? Yes, I do believe that. But do I also believe that people are still actually dying from coronavirus? Yes, I do. I do. And it's unfortunate. Rest in peace to him. Lord have mercy. How old was he, Rari?
I don't know, but I cursed out one of my friends yesterday. He posted on Instagram. He took it down. He put on his Insta story and said, if it's meant for me to die from COVID-19, take me to the king. I'm outside.
Yeah.
You guys are stupid.
You see, it's funny until it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It's funny until it's not funny no
more. People having fun with this and all that. It's funny until it's not.
Facts.
Until it's in your backyard.
Facts. My uncle died last week, and we can't even have a funeral because he didn't die from COVID, but he died, and we can't even have a funeral because of COVID-19.
Isn't that what Christianity taught us, though? You know, if it's your time, it's your time. Isn't that?
But you know what? Faith without works is dead. Amen. So if you have instructions on what to do and you don't take the instructions on what God has given you, then you can't blame nobody but yourself.
Woo, okay. Well, that being said, I think it's time for a break.
Yes, sir. My guy Dallas Martin, the senior vice president of Atlantic Records, is going to be speaking to us. We're going to talk to him about what is he doing during this pandemic and how is he quarantining with being an A&R and managing A&Rs and managing his artists on his label.
You're listening to the Baller Alert Show.
All right, cool, man. We got our super friend, Dallas Martin, is the senior vice president A&R of Atlantic Records. How's it going, sir?
What's going on with y'all?
Yeah, we just trying to see what's going on with you during this quarantine, because we've been hearing from rappers, we've been hearing from promoters and people in media, but we've never heard from a record executive like yourself. Like, what are you doing during the quarantine?
What I'm doing during the quarantine, I'm trying to make sure that, you know, all my artists have equipment at their houses so they can record, so they could be in a creative space. And just trying to, like, you know, just maintain a good balance between, you know, not being so bummed out because we can't go nowhere and still grinding and working hard. You feel me?
That's definitely something I'm wondering, because you mentioned like making sure that your artists have the right equipment so they can continue recording. But from my understanding, artists need to experience different things, be able to move around so that they can be in a creative space. So how do you keep the momentum going while everybody's on lockdown?
But before that, can I know who the artists are?
Yeah, look, damn, Ferrari, you didn't even introduce me the right way. Damn, what's going on?
I'm sorry. You know what? Let's go down the resume. Let's go down the resume. I've known Dallas for a long time. Let's rewind. When I first met Dallas, were you at Atlantic then, Dallas?
Yeah, I've been in Atlantic the whole. Well, I was at Warner Brothers, but it turned into Atlantic. But it was the same company.
And I saw you had Wale and Meek Mill.
Yeah, so my first claim to fame pretty much was that I signed MMG when I was coming up as a new A&R. So I did A&R for Wale. I did A&R for Meek Mill. I did Omarion's Supposed to Be record. I worked with all his artists, and I signed K Michelle, then I signed Nipsey Hussle.
Nice.
Now I just signed Roddy Ricch. And now I have a new artist that I'm super excited about named Simba.
Super dope.
And Corday has blessed me the opportunity to work with him on his new music, which is incredible because he's one of my favorite artists too.
Okay, so now we can go back to Sue Solo's question. Go ahead, Sue.
Well, actually, going back to the artist that you mentioned, I actually went on your Instagram and I felt like you had a really good balance of showing, you know, the artist, like the music side, and then also the family side with your wife and your kid. It's a perfect balance. But I did want to know, like, it seemed like you were heavily involved with Meek Mill's project. So what do you feel about, like, the transition between Meek then and Meek now?
When you say transition, what you mean? You feel like we just got more popping?
I definitely feel like it's not necessarily that it's more popping. I just feel like his growth, like, you know, with prison reform and, like, how he has completely kind of changed, like, well, not changed, but he's added on to the message that he's delivering. Like, he's become so much more, like, hands-on with Justin Reform and all that stuff. So I just feel like it has elevated him in a sense. Like, he's always been popping, but this definitely brought him in the face of different people who may not have necessarily seen him in that light before.
Well, one thing about him, man, I'm just really just proud about his growth and his evolution through the music. But I always knew Meek was gonna be a super big star because he just always had that kind of energy coming into the game. And he had a couple, you know, things that happened that kind of backtracked his journey. But at the end of the day, like, we all knew the people around him, his hunger, his energy, his attitude, his, you know, his brand, you know what I'm saying, is something that people can't really take from him. So, you know, him going to jail on some bullshit charges, I think opened up the eyes of a lot of people. And the fact that he came out that trying to help everybody else who had the same kind of struggle, you know, is really commendable, man. So I'm just really proud of him, just what he's doing with his power. But as far as the music, he's always been a beast. He had a couple setbacks, but at the end of the day, like, you can't hold back artists with substance. And that's just true.
Setbacks as in the issues he had with Drake? But now that it's...
I think setbacks could be jail. I think setbacks could be beef. I think setbacks could be anything that deteriorate you from what you got going on.
Okay. My question would be is, I know you had Nipsey Hussle and Long Live Nip, of course. How was that like being in the studio? Because you were actually really active with him. That's actually a fun fact. That's actually how I started taking Nipsey, like, really serious, because I saw that, you know, I kind of, and back in dating back to when I first moved to Atlanta, I saw who you were and what you had going on, because I was just figuring out who was who. But when I saw that you took him on, I was like, wow, this is a big deal. Let me start listening to Nipsey a lot more. So I started paying more attention to Nipsey when you started taking him on. And how was that process like with him?
Well, what was dope about Nipsey, man, Nipsey has always been somebody that's super about character and integrity. So we just really just kind of like built a relationship. Because when I came out here to LA, my main goal was like, I want to work with somebody dope from the West Coast because I want to, you know, I want to embrace the city I'm living in. And I'm just a big fan of the music. And Nipsey was one of those artists that I really fuck with. And he already kind of, you know, started his process and his music career. But I know he didn't want to sign with a major. So I was like, damn, like if I could get Nipsey to sign with a major and we do a dope ass deal, this shit could be legendary. And, you know, it took a lot of time. We built a relationship, but we built a friendship. And it just got to the point where, you know, we decided to get into business with each other. And it was just a blessing, man, because that nigga is one of the dopest niggas I ever met in my life. You know what I'm saying?
So my next question is, what is the day in the life of a senior vice president? First of all, what does a senior vice president of a record label do?
I was just about to ask that.
So what it basically is, in the music business, you have departments, right? You have publicity, you have marketing, you have A&R, you have artist development, which does touring and shows and things like that. You have artist administration, which handles like the business, but the A&R is basically the biggest department because you can't have a music label without music. So when you first come on to an A&R label at a major label, they usually put you at director, then senior director, which are the lower A&R spots, which you're building up. Then you become VP, right, of the department. Then you become senior VP, and senior VP is just basically one step from being president of either the department or the whole company.
Oh wow.
Because A&R is the biggest department in the company.
Well, what would your advice be for the young artists right now who, you know, feel like this is their time, they creating right now in the house, they putting their stuff on SoundCloud, you know, they trying to get themselves set up so when the quarantine is over, you know, they'll have some action from like the masses.
I would say be original, be relentless. And just, you really gotta kind of fade everybody out and just do what you know in your heart that is authentic to you. And just really chase your dream. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't listen. Go ahead.
How could they get to you? How could they get your attention, VP?
Man, they just got to hit Ferrari and he gonna tell
that's
me
true.
That
that's
the
true.
Popping new record in Atlanta. And I'm gonna be like, let's get it.
Cause he always called me. He always called me and asked me who's who.
Or not.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, what's going on out here? Yeah, but you know, I got to a certain point. I got staff. I got niggas that's gonna touch the ground a little. But you know, I think I put in my work enough to kind of sit back and just get the action sent to me now.
Right.
There it is. Like a boss. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's baller status.
For real, for real. And, you know, I put in work to do. I've been doing this over fucking shit. I was interning over 10 years ago for 2 years for free. It ain't like I just got into the game last year and talking like this, but.
And that's what I was going to ask you about your story. How'd you get into it?
I went to Clark. My main goal from coming from Flint, Michigan was to get into music. I went to Clark because it was in Atlanta. And I knew Atlanta was fucking on fire. And my goal was to get an internship. Finally got an internship and made the best of it. And now I'm here today.
Where'd you get an internship at?
Def Jam under Shakir Stewart.
R.I.P.
He signed Rick Ross and Young Jeezy.
How'd you land that?
So the dope story about that is his best friend was Nicole Johnson from the Three Brown Girls. Mm-hmm. And she was married to V. Johnson. And Nicole had a little sister that went to Clark.
Mm.
And that was basically like Shake's goddaughter, niece, all that wrapped in one. And she was just like, he was like, yo, who's on campus making noise? And she used to come to my parties and I used to talk to her a lot about my ambition of getting some music business. And she just took me to him.
So you threw parties and that's how you linked with her. And then she was able to link you with her people.
Yeah, my main goal in college was like to create a name, a brand, establish something that people just kind of like was fucking with. Mm-hmm. So I could break into music because I was still managing like producers, but I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Had no relationships, mm-hmm. But I was like, I was focused on it. You know what I'm saying?
So
when I got my opportunity, when I got my opportunity to be in front of a nigga that's a boss like Shake, I had the right things to say, and he knew that I had the you know, I was focused and, you know, I had a vision.
And look at you now, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me, for real, for real.
Well, thank you for coming to the Ball Alert Show, sir.
Man, yo, I really appreciate y'all for having me. Super humble. You know, whatever y'all need, man. Thank y'all.
It's been real. Thanks for talking to us.
No, I appreciate y'all.
Glad you are keeping healthy, sane, and safe, and still making money, it sounds like, during the quarantine.
Hopefully it keep going like that. But, you know, blessings to everybody that's going out. Hard times right now. I know it's crazy right now. Our economy is in a bad space. But, you know, blessings to everybody trying to get some money right now.
For sure, for sure. Thank you, brother.
You're listening to the Baller Alert Show.
Message. Dear Rari, I've been dating my boyfriend for 4 years, but we broke up. I cheated because he neglected me by not showing me enough attention. Well, now he's my ex. I've moved on as of 2 weeks ago, and my new guy is a little intimidated by my current living arrangements. Me and my ex still live together. But before you guys judge me, we haven't been speaking at all, and we aren't around each other. We are just roommates. But I'm thinking this will be an issue in any situation I'm in, which means I can't date someone because it creates issues until I move out. But we just renewed our lease last month. And it's stay home because of COVID-19, so I really can't leave. What the hell do I do?
All right, that's funny. All right, so first of all, 2 weeks later, you already have a new guy who's concerned about your living arrangements. Like, if I get out of a serious relationship and I'm talking to somebody, like, 2 weeks later, he don't even know what side of town I live on yet. So you sound like you need to slow down.
Sounds like she gave up the box.
She probably did give up the box, Mari. I don't know, but... yeah, no, it's definitely gonna be awkward, sis. It's gonna be awkward, and you can't move, right? I mean, you know what? You can move, because I moved. I just moved stay last home. Weekend. So, no, she can move.
What?
I just moved you last moved weekend.
And stay home?
Yeah.
You moved your home, so I guess that makes sense.
I moved
sense.
My home. So, sis, if okay. it's that bad, move your home. But I also know it's cheaper to keep her, so whatever.
Do y'all got kids, though? No, no kids.
I mean, listen, shoot, man, no jobs either. Ain't nobody working.
What you think?
I say slow down too.
Sound like she doing too much already.
Baby, I think you are doing too much. You cheated on your man because he wasn't showing you enough attention. And it seems like you let homeboy smashed a little too early, because he asking way too many questions about what's going on.
Way too many.
Living arrangements before y'all even get serious. 2 weeks? Come on, man. But what the thing is, you talking to him about your living arrangement within 2 weeks, and it's a problem. So therefore, you need to eradicate that problem. I'm not gonna stay with my ex. You can't stay with your ex. I'm pretty sure you still walking around the house naked, taking showers, and all that crazy stuff that y'all ladies do when y'all get out the shower. I mean, but you know, when you get out the shower, ladies, y'all like, you know,
taking showers, staying clean or whatnot.
Yeah, but. He's your roommate. He used to hit that. So he's going. No guy is going to be cool with you still living with someone that used to hit that. Period. So no, you're not going to be able to have another relationship successfully, happily, and you still live with your ex who used to hit that. Especially y'all stayed together for 4 years. Y'all was together for 4 years. Man, nope. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So what you saying? Like, she just should not be dating, or what?
Do not date until you move your ass up out of there. Go and get you your own place so you can hoe in peace.
Ooh. Not so you can hoe in peace.
I can even hoe in peace.
Okay, so you can
everybody
fight in peace.
Know with me.
Oh, I am appalled.
So you can throw the box on whoever you want to throw it at.
Listen, she out here free,
you
okay?
You can bust the cherry open fast.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Pull up the whole damn seal.
She out here getting that QD, that quarantine yeah. day.
Okay.
Ooh, my bad, child. It's time to get out the house.
And now it's time for comment creeping.
Creep, creep.
And from it four times.
Creep, 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 creep.
All right, y'all. It's time for comment creeping. Now, look, I know the times are hard. We are at home in quarantine. It's been boring. All right, ladies, you're tired of using your vibrators and all your toys. I understand that. Okay, but sis, just hang on a little longer. Hang on a little longer, sis, because we're not trying to deal with these little babies no more. In real life, we're not trying to deal with these little babies. So Lil Baby actually hits Twitter and says, if she can't get the rentals and spots in her name, she no good. All right, well, at Golden Lady Nails peeped it, and she retweeted and said, sound like a nigga with no credit.
Ooh.
Look, we are done messing with these boys that cannot get the room in their name, okay? They can't buy nothing on credit cards. They're sending us money. We're done, okay? We did that in high school.
Time out. Flag on the play. Sometimes Baby tweets lyrics from his songs, and sometimes he talks about stuff that he did in the past. So I'm going to give him a pass on that because
everybody knows and believes that this man can get his own rentals. He can get his own spots. He can get his own car.
I'm telling you, he's just rapping.
But there was a time in his life when this was a true statement. There was a time in his life when whoever he was messing with had to have a good credit score. She had to have a credit card, a job, know how to read. They had all the standards.
In Atlanta, we call that jugging, okay?
Okay.
J-U-G-G-I-N.
Ladies.
Nike check.
Elevate, okay? Grow. We ain't messing with these little boys no more. No little babies, okay? Grown men only.
Hey.
See, you engaged. You got your stuff together.
That's my favorite rapper, man.
That's fine.
I can't let you talk about my favorite.
Hey, that new song is fire though with Ashanti. I'm talking
about how back in the day, he used to have to mess with the girls with good credit because
that's
the
wrong one. That's DaBaby.
DaBaby. We ain't talking about DaBaby.
No, we talking about DaBaby.
Oh, it's too many babies.
Yeah, DaBaby has a song with Ashanti.
I thought we was talking about DaBaby the whole time.
All right, y'all. I'm Sue Solo. That was Comment Creeping. But before we get out of here, we got to leave you with some words to feed your soul.
Salute to all the frontline workers, the first responders, the grocery stores, the truck drivers, and anyone that is working to keep us safe during this pandemic.
That's true. And you know what? I just want to leave y'all with some wise words from the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms.
So what I've been asking people to do is to exercise common sense. You don't have to listen to me. If don't believe the governor, don't believe the president, but listen to the scientists. Listen to the healthcare professionals who are saying we are exhausted. We are dying.
Yes, Keisha girl, you're right. And I'm going to stay my black ass at home.
Facts. And Carol Baskins killed her husband.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Whatever they said she did that shit. Bye, y'all.
Baller alert. The dream is real.